Bright Lights Pathfinders. We are all a bright light searching for the Pathfinder's way. Hello, I'm Kathy Cook, and I'm your host on Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock Pacific Time. That's 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So listen up and tune in to Station 1 on BBSRadio.com. It's a positive power production. Unique perfection evolves. Exquisite feelings awaken, producing passion style.
Hello, I'm on the air. This is Kathy Cook, the Bright Lights Pathfinder Show. And I'm kind of absorbed in meditations right now. I've been meditating for the past hour and a half. But something brings me to gratitude and being grateful. Having a gratitude list and being grateful is what I was going through. That was brought to me through my meditations. And it brings me back to things like a new day. Being grateful for a new day, a new beginning. Being grateful for having children or family or people in my life. Being grateful to be able to hold my old defects of character from the past, be able to see them, to have the wisdom to know the difference of what's been brought forth. Being grateful for a home to live in that's filled with love. Being grateful for not having any doubt that anyone or anything can harm me except for myself. Being grateful for not having to fear anymore, to know that things that only I can cause the fear. Being grateful to be able to wake up and feel myself, being grateful for the unconditional love that I cherish in each and every one. I'm grateful for seeing the negative ways that I've had in my thoughts in the past and learned from accepting them that they are no longer. I'm grateful for my surroundings and for the love that's within me. I'm grateful for being blessed in all ways and shapes and forms. I'm grateful to give back to the universe what has been so gratefully given to me. I'm grateful to believe in love, that love doesn't die. I'm grateful to know that love does not die, that we only can grow stronger and stronger from it. I'm just so grateful to feel grateful for my health, of what I have, and feeling better. I'm grateful for people that have been in my life that are no longer, that maybe one day they'll step back through. I'm grateful for those people that stood by me with care and understanding and the love that they had for me for just being. I'm grateful for all the caretakers, at such as doctors or lawyers or people that help me. I'm grateful for the best, that they have the best interest of me in my own heart. I'm grateful to be able to have gone through what I've gone through and to come out on the other side knowing that that has been in the past, with a hearty feeling to have to be able to say I can forgive and I understand and I accept the reasons that all that happened because it needed a balance. And blaming no one. I'm grateful to allow others to help me and to love them back with an open heart. I'm grateful for the gift of each new day, of each person's way. I'm grateful for the listening ears that I have to hear other people's words that need to be spoken. I'm grateful for my eyes to be able to see all the beauty that this universe has within it. I'm grateful to be able to touch and feel, to know the different textures and feelings of things on the outside of my skin. I am grateful for the things that are the feelings of the inside, that I can choose how they affect me. I'm grateful for the waking up out of a fog that I've been waking up so slowly for in the past many, many years, and it's like opening up of a new rebirth. I'm grateful for the strength to be able to climb up out of this part of myself that I've been hiding in for the fear of failure. And I'm grateful to realize and believe that I believe in myself and I can and do and accomplish all things. I'm grateful for past friends, one husband, that has taught me to be strong no matter what, and to be able to shut a door to open another, and to be able to change myself if that's what I choose to do by walking in faith through the hurts and the traumas and desires. The disappointments to be able to leave them behind behind us, and if I had not done so, then we wouldn't be the beautiful, change and peaceful, but refreshing place in life together that we are today. I'm grateful to believe in my gut and in my heart that I've made the conscious decisions, the rightful decisions, to all that is hurt and all the hope of the change of me, not in others. The part of the relationships that I have to shed that are so true for me to grow, for me to survive, which is best for me as well as best for others. I believe in me. I'm grateful because of my belief of putting up with the negative, allowing the positive to grow, that all it has done is helped me to be a better me today. I believe in also knowing that the sadness is always has beauty of the truest, perfect love that's on the other side. I'm so ever grateful for this past year and to be able to focus on the newness instead of others and why things are the way they are. I'm grateful to be able to feel in me, to be blessed for all the hardships, to turn them into extreme unbreakable love with positiveness, and to know and see all things have one side and then the other, the polar end, the opposite. As hard and hurtful and sad a feeling is, by the understanding this, I know with gratitude the opposite is strengthened and stronger in the love and care and beauty. By walking through the bad, I can dissolve anything that is negative, and only positive purification and love, without a doubt, of my big feelings become stronger. When I look at me, what do I see? All that I am and what I'm to be. Do I know me? The meanings of my words I speak. Can I feel the emotions of my voice as I speak? Know me. Look at me, see me, feel me, hear me, accept me, love me, care for me, and respect me and trust me. All this must be felt inside myself before anyone can ever come in and be allowed to do so as well. With this lesson and accomplishments and understanding, I now do take over and take on a new way with a new attitude, my attitude to change of the way that I've been towards others and acting and towards myself. I'm grateful for seeing things with gratitude and with new attitude. I'm grateful for the almighty grace of this teaching. I'm grateful for my family and for the way they behave. I'm grateful for each one of them and their personality traits. I'm grateful for the kindness and care and being able to help another. And I'm grateful for being able to see the opportunity in such change with the positive and good. I'm grateful for these love and healings as well as the lessons that I've learned. I'm grateful for being born on the day that I was born on and all the parts that are of me, all the rights that are of me, and all the people that took care of me. I'm grateful to be able to take care of myself today, as well as take care of others that need me, that were taking care of me when I needed them. I'm grateful to be able to walk through to the other side of my own new self and realize that the expression of me outwardly is all that is left inside of me inwardly today. And with that gratitude, I thank you for allowing me to share this love and growth. And I'm grateful to a break into a new reality. I went there. It was all good. And as usual, it was big lessons in going there. To learn, reasons is enough. And today's a new beginning, and I'm so grateful to be full of this love and peace. I'm grateful for being hurt by words or things I did not want to hear. I'm grateful to allow those thoughts to enter into me and allow them to take a gentle nudging place into my heart. And I'm grateful for this new beginning because I'm so grateful for my parents, my friends, and the loving family that I have. And I'm grateful for the gift that God has given me. And I'm grateful for the beautiful angels and guardian angels. And I love you all. I'm so grateful for BBS Radio. And I'm so grateful to be able to have shared that with you. I'm just going to take a moment and take a little sip of water if you don't mind. Now that was something I needed to reread because it was in, like I say, you know, I don't plan for my shows. But in the meditations, I was kind of like a daisy sleep when I first came on the air. I looked down at my feet and Seth said, you're going on the air. And it was an angel book, a journal of mine. My friend Gail in Oregon gave it to me, and it's an angel kissing another angel. She wrote in the inside of it, she says, my dearest Kathy, I'm so grateful for our friendship. This is a gratitude journal. Write at least 5 things that you are grateful for every day. Soon you will be seeing your life change in the most glorious way. I love you, Gail. 2/11/97. And scribbled on the outside of that, it says, Luke 6:1, blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. And then it starts my journal that I'm grateful for. And I started it off with, I'm grateful for my dear friend, Gail, for receiving her love and blessings, the wisdom and loving that she shares with me. So, it helps to go back into some journals and reread what we've already learned because sometimes we get lost and it takes a little nudging, a little gentle nudging of someone with some beautiful words that are maybe something we don't want to hear. But it's attitude. It's all attitude. It's all tones and pitches and voices. It's all being calm and patient. It's all looking at the patterns. I will instruct you and teach you in the ways in which you should go, and I will counsel you with my eyes upon you. That's Psalms 32:8. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from my fears. And the poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his trouble. The Lord is near to the broken heart and saves those who are crushed in spirit. How blessed is he who the transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. The Lord is my strength and my shield, my heart, I trust him. And I am helped, therefore my heart exalts with the song that I thank him. Make known thy way, Lord. Teach me the path. Teach me all the ways, Lord, and lead me into the level path. Because of the foes, let my words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Wisdom can have a dynamic effect on a human life. And with that, I'm going to read from Psalms 119 for some reason. Blessed are those who teach me thy statutes. I will meditate on thy precepts. I shall delight in those statutes. I will not forget thy word. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from thy law. I am a stranger to this earth. Do not hide thy commandments from me. This is Proverbs I've written down. In all ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight, and do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. I will be healing you in your body and refreshing your bones. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, as the man who gains understanding. Her ways are pleasant ways, and her ways and paths are peace. She is the tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are those who hold her fast. Commit to your work, and to your plan to be established, says the Lord. So with that, I'm going to say, for a long time I used to go out to this wisdom tree, and I used to just sit there, and I used to just ponder. I thought that tree could tell me everything. I thought, there's the answers to all things is in that tree, because it's old and it's been here a long time. And I thought, if I hold on to this tree and look at that tree and feel that tree, surely that big, wise, mighty oak tree is going to tell me some stuff, how it survived. If it was in a parking lot by now, and the parking lot had been built up around it, it was withering and old. And I looked around, and it seemed to have spoken to me. It says, everything in life gives you a gift. Just look for it in the smallest, non-thoughtful, of thinking places. Nature gives you a gift. And when you come across something in your life, something that really is a message to you, look around on the earth or in your home, and you will see a gift that the universe has left you. Whether it be a feather, an acorn, a strand of whatever, there's a gift there waiting for you, a stone especially. Take it as I do. What I do is I have that little special box, and I write down where what the gratitude gift was given to me from the universe for, what lesson I learned from it, and I place it in that box. Every so often I take something from that box and place it in my little chenille box, and you know, use it as prayer. Now, a lot of people don't understand altars. But you know, in the Bible there was altars. There's altars for Wiccan ways. There's altars for Buddha. There's altars for yoga. There's altars for all sorts of things. But what is your altar like? What do you put on your altar? And is it kept up instead of just haphazardly kept? And do you bless your food, or do you just eat it? Because if that animal died for you to be able to eat it, don't you think you need to? I do. I need to get back into blessing my food, especially the herbs and the vegetables for the seeds that were so preciously given to us. And the water, blessing the water, because that's cleansing of oneself. Water is purification of cleansing of oneself. I just want to say thank you to all you people that listen to me. Because I feel you. I feel the energy changes. I feel the energy shifts. I'm that hyper-focused, very sensitive because I just do. I feel it. I don't want you to be afraid if you want to call in, but it doesn't matter if you don't, because I'm just as content either way. So it's just like talking on the phone. And if you'd like to call in, the phone numbers are on the front page of BBS where you've tuned in at station one. We can talk about whatever. I'd like to talk about money. How I can't stand money, and I don't know why. I always thought money was the root of all evil. I wish we could all go by the barter system. Giving something to someone and they give something back. Before there was money, there wasn't any war chaos. But what is it about money that irks me so, that hurts me so? I don't know. I just cannot stand money. But yet I know I have to have it to survive. I've seen it
do a lot of damage in my family, not only my family, but as well as others. And maybe that's why. But you know, when you find a penny, you're supposed to pick it up, and all day long you'll have good luck. So what does that mean? I don't know. You know? Gosh. Where are we going to go with this show tonight? Because we've got like 40 minutes left. How about some parables? You know what parables are? Does anyone know what parables are? Well, a parable is something that Jesus spoke. Kind of like what I speak sometimes, and people go, what is she saying? What in the world? Well, how about the rich man and Lazarus? That's in Luke 16:19-31, if anybody wants to know. But there was a certain rich man. He was clothed in all these beautiful linens and fine purple gorgeousness. And he was fared for himself every day. And then there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. All he laid at the rich man's gate, but he was full of sores. All he wanted to be fed, but every time he was fed, he only got crumbs from the rich man's table. And the dogs would always come over and lick his sores. And as time passed, the beggar died. And the angels of Abraham took him up in his bosom. The rich man also died, and he was buried. And in the hell, he lifted up his eyes, where he was being tormented. And he saw Abraham off in the distance. And he had Lazarus in his bosom. And he said and cried, Father, Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip, that he may dip his fingers in some water and cool my tongue, for I'm tortured in this flame. Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received all your good things, and likewise Lazarus received all the evil things. And now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides, all between us and you, there is a great gulf of fixes. And he said, so they would pass and come here to you. You cannot. You cannot come to heaven. You don't have any water. And the rich man was like, I don't understand, but why? I just want a little bit from Lazarus' fingers to parch my lips. And he said, Abraham said, I'll pray for you. And then the father, to come to the father's house, is what Lazarus was hoping. And then Lazarus said that I had five brothers, and he's one of my brothers. Please let him go to heaven and get out of this torment, he said to Abraham. And then Moses, and Abraham told Moses that Moses and the prophets were in heaven, and let them hear him. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from the dead, they will repent. And he said to him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if one is to rise after he is dead. And certainly the rich man, in restricted historical sense, as is designated in the Jewish nation, was more extended, which is in the spiritual sense, and its meaning is that the possession of the knowledge of revealed truth, or God's word, or the word of God. And who are therefore said to be clothed in the purple linen, in the finest clothes? They denote more than good of that word. The fine linen and its truth. Father, I'm going to ask you, what do you feel is denoting on that in those occasions? Do you feel that incorporating their lives into the heaven is eternal principles? For the beggar named Lazarus, is restricted in his historical sense. He is denoted in the Gentiles. He is called a beggar because we're in his possession. The eternal truth was more extended in the spiritual sense. By the beggar, he mentioned here that he was not understood because without the money and the food and clothing for his spiritual journey, he had nothing. And the rich man and others thought of him as being a bum and a beggar because he wasn't out making his living. So the truth is revealed that you are in your desire of that knowledge. And if you lay at the rich man's gate, because they are the affliction of truth, and delirious to enter into the possessions of it, there they're described that Lazarus being full of sores, in dispute of eternal truth, that he was infested by false principles and persecutions here. While he was on earth. But in many cases, it was the contrary of the truth. He got to see that the desire to be fed, even from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, since being in the affection of the love of truth. With this, I want to ask, is it a wish to be fed and nourished by virtues of grace and pure and holy life, everlasting? Is it? But to survive here on earth, to have to beg of a rich man and only gather the crumbs. So if we just look at the good and natural state, the state of the natural good, where is it that the divine life is in perfect order? Where's the perseverance of truth? In this parable, when the beggar died and the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died, and he was buried. Dying means just removing, just being removed from the natural state into a spiritual state alive. And the angels carrying into Adam's bosom means introducing into the eternal happiness into the state, which was manifested for us to understand the passages of the sacred scriptures. But thereby meaning divine love, the blessedness, which is communication, to love like the disciple John that lied, that said to the Lord, you know, just to get his way and what he needed to be said, but then he learned his lesson and became one of the greatest disciples the Lord ever had. Well, with the rich man dying, denotes that his removal from the actual state of the spiritual, you know, into the spiritual state of life, which the history of the rich man is just left here for us to learn from, the principles and the knowledge. It's like a life of knowledge here. And the stories that have been passed down from generation to generation and through the Bible and things like that, that's, you know, I can look at the Bible one day and learn something one way and totally learn it another way, you know, apply it to my knowledge that is my wisdom's vessel the next. It just depends on what I need it for. But right now I'm open to this, so, you know, and I'm speaking it out there to the World Wide Web on BBS Radio. So it's meant for me because when I speak something, it's something I need to hear. I'm glad and happy that I can mirror to other people and they can as well receive a message from what I'm also learning for myself. But I'm getting back to, with the love and charity, even when it said he was buried, you know, he was unpurified from this criminal neglect and application of his truth. And so what was given to him was in the same way, you know, all that he had in life, the rich man, and how he wouldn't give and have a heart to the poor man, or to the poor man, Lazarus, which was doing spiritual work, which was doing work for God, and had nothing to eat, but needed something from the rich man at the rich man's gate to survive. So therefore, the rich man went to hell. What is hell? It's just fire and brim, damnation, you know. It's your inside torment itself. And it's the flames. And you thirst and you're hungry for anything to cool yourself off from the eternal flame. So this eternal, think of the black void hole. Think of the void, the big hole that's in the universe. And think it never ends. It just keeps going down further and further and further. Hotter and hotter and hotter. Hotter and hotter and hotter. The mercy that Lazarus had on his brother, the rich man's prayer. Now let me get to you to tell you this. The rich man's prayer for divine mercy. That's what he was asking for. Mercy so that he could get some water and get out of that torment. Right? But his prayer was heard by the Father of Miracles. And that relief of turmoil would have been afforded accordingly if he was responsible for his prayer. This is kind of difficult to explain, but I'm going to try to explain it as best I can. Only to be removed by supposedly what seems to be reality, in this case, the rich man and his prayer, on this occasion, not to proceed from any good desire, but grounded in senses of the divine love and mercy, but from his presence in torment, and consequently, his prayer of compulsion, not freedom, and therefore, how could that be granted? How could it? Because Almighty is affected by no prayers, fears no one, and is proceeded from perfect freedom. That's the only time it can be heard is when we free it and let it go out there. Let it go. When we are freed from what is holding us. Fear, worry, chaos, wanting to manifest something. When we free it in perfect freedom, that results in the operation of divine mercy to me. And that is when I'm obedient in itself. Now, that's what I get out of it. I hope you do as well. And the reason that there's so many petitions like Lazarus to dip the water with his fingers to cool the tongue of someone that has done him so wrong is because we don't want anybody to hurt and be in the wrong place for the rest of their life. But they're asking forgiveness and their prayers have to be pure and faced. I have to face exactly what it is that I'm praying about and asking myself to forgive myself for, and then go to others, and then go to God. But if he cried out so many times in that divine prayer of mercy, that rich man, could he be reconciled with the fact of continuing in the torment was what happened. But suppose his prayer was heard in the proper way with the freedom. Wonder if he let go. Wonder if he was really letting go once he just like let go. Okay, I'm thirsty. I've said it. I've done it. Now, I hope, you know, not hope, won't, you know, just put it out there. It's done. Now, let it go. Dismissed. Go away. You know, get something else. Then, can God have his divine intervention and is perfected for what just cause that I have let go of the situation because of my faith in knowing that it's going to be. That's what I just now got out of that parable. That's pretty cool. I like the time. It's 9:33. That's 3:33:33. I love those numbers. Anyway, let me get back to this because I think I'm through. What about the good things that I call accountable for? The good things that maybe the rich man had done going on for him in his life. What about those things? The real good things, the apparent good things. What happens to all that? Just because he was nasty and mean to people and kept all his money, kind of like hoarding it. I got to look at that situation. Because the giver of all is good. And the receiver that connects to that, okay, whether it's gratitude of gifts or whatever, in the mercy. So why did the man hold on to all his stuff? What was it? He surely knew he couldn't take it with him in the spirit world. But if he could have given enough to allow that other person, his own brother, to survive on this earth, right? Could he have been pardoned? Because you just never know in one instant to the next, from one breath to the next, whether you're going to be alive or dead. And in that spiritual world, that's like the karma of the vehicle and the karma. We have to pay back what we've done here on earth. Good, bad, happy, sad. So the difference between the real, real good things and the apparent good things and the former good things, which man receives not from himself merely, but from the giver of all good, if the receiver connects to them and acknowledges them as a gratitude, with gratitude. That's why I read out of my whole gratitude thing. I guess that's what God's doing here, because he's in total control. He's the one that always speaks for me, the Holy Spirit. You think about it. If I acknowledge and receive from the giver, which is God, with gratitude to be the gifts of his mercy, isn't it apparent that good things are those which man separates from the divine giver? That they call their own in an independent way? And the mercy from which I receive from them, then it's going to be true that the evil things which Lazarus had to have received is that much like, well, both are real apparent to me. I know that I'm going in circles again, just bear with me. I'm kind of thinking out loud instead, you know. But like all good things, both are really apparent. Real evil, being such as the man bring upon himself, which separates his love. It just separates the love, the unconditional love, and the affection, consequently of the thoughts and persecution, from the source that's all good. Okay, there, I'm going to stop. I was connecting the attitude of grace that I read before and the grace and mercy that was coming to me about this parable. And it, instead of just continuing my conversation with God and me, and stepped in and went, wow, you know, and did I, wow, look at me, I got this on, you know, see, so it was sidetracked, and there I got confused a little bit, so I have to get back into my humbleness and into my mercy of understanding to receive that which is connecting to me with gratitude of these gifts of his mercy. And with that, the source from all good. Because apparently, to me, there's evil in all things. Just as eternal nature is like that. But in such things, there's always a divine providence that affects one's real desire to turn away from the evil part, right? Daddy always told me, don't let my left know what my right hand's doing. That way I can always be okay, because neither one can blame themselves on the other. And then, with that, I can be delivered from anything that the other side has done. And now God, to me, is my comforter. I torment my own self, because God is unconditional love, my creator. he would want these things to happen. You know? And he instructs me. But if I have received something that's not good and healthy for me, or an evil thing, or an evil doer, then am I admitting and permitting this in my life? Or is this a situation that needs to come full circle to maybe help another? The death of another, to bring them up into the light. To have the really good, apparent good things that we have received with someone giving something to someone with not holding it over their head, but just because they see that they need it and they want to give it to them. And then dismiss it and go on and be your own self in your life. Okay, so so-and-so gave me something. Okay, if I hold that I gave somebody something, well, I gave you this, what's in it for me, then how is that giving a gift if I expect something in return? Or if I need others to see how much I've done for someone that needed it. So consequently, in the end, the deliverance of evil to me is comforted by my own torment. If I am tormented enough about something and it's apparent that it's present in my life, for me to be admitting it today in my life instead of after death, with life after death, because the participation and enjoyment of the real good things embody the good things are deprived from the blessings after separation of the body and plunged into the real evil thing of the consequences that have separated me from the real good things of the heavenly love and life. That's how I feel. Now, what else do I want to talk about? I got 20 minutes. Let's see. Let me get back into my... If I pray, then therefore, Father, send me to the Father's house in my heart and where I can dwell and I can rest and he can testify to me. But in my Father's house, I am now to be understood, spiritually rich, is abound in knowledge and truth. As this evil life that even I have taken role in, I'm having a new attitude with gratitude. And so with this position of myself, grounded in my charity, of self-love, and the desire to be able to prevent the cease of my own torment, for I am blessed, and in blissfully blessed for each individual that has brought forth to me the lessons that have been taught to me today. Because with great misery of not understanding and the principles that were too difficult for me to understand through my own anxieties of expressing it, through this that I have been able to see and to be able to learn the revelations of this eternal truth, which is what God has to show me through genuine faith and the right belief in God and in his realities of his kingdom. Because if I didn't suffer, then how could I learn the evidence of my truth, which is in myself, and be converted into the rightful way of faith that I need to acknowledge through the visions and miracles and the extraordinary interpositions of the rightful faith that I have for solitary purpose. And lastly, before I change the subject, I just want to say one more thing. In order to affect our conversation to God, our full belief in realities of His kingdom, we ought to study well the pages of eternal truth, which is inside of each person, which is inside of me, which contains the fullest of evidence of the demonstrations. So with this parable, I learned about great temptation. I learned about exposure. I learned about possession of riches. I learned about natural spiritualness. I learned about how to apply it right and how not to apply it. I learned about eternal happiness. I learned about understanding the rich man. I learned, again, about the natural or spiritual views of self. I learned about what kingdom of heaven was, not having to pay my karma blessings back. And what more I learned is that I understood the abuse of what riches do to you, especially the spiritual richness, because we need the acknowledgments of truth in any case. That's what I've learned. I've learned the purpose of purification and the real transformation of my heart and my life. I've learned to properly align myself with the inevitable, with evidence of understanding to let go after I've said my prayers and have that knowledge of the knowing with faith that it's going to be just how it's meant to be. And I've learned not to have misapplication, to indulge in my foolish imagination, and to be able to work with my visions and my signs, even by the miracles that they bring forth before me, so that I can have testimony to myself, to the highest of all, with uttermost respect to the internal world, which God communicates His word to me, in which I am rightly and honorably cherished in the understanding that it will give in this life without fail, with its evidence amounting to this common demonstration. And I've learned a lot, not knowing I'm going to learn anything. So, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts in folly. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching evil and good. They take hold of instruction. Do not let go and guard her, for she is your life. Almost out of time, but I want to say a few more verses that I've got written in my journal. Wisdom rests in the heart of the one who has the understanding, but in the bosom of the fool it's made known. So do not, says in 3:3, these are Proverbs 14, and then I keep going down 15 and 16, and they're, I've written in my journal to my kids. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all ways He will make your path straight. All the ways of man are clean in His own sight, but the Lord weighs out its motives. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor comes humility. Humble myself before I can be honored with the grace of whatever it is to be out there. And so maybe the next page is dated 5/28/02. It is called Coming Out of the Forest, or Am I Going In? I stood at the moonlit, lacy edge of the Lord Almighty's ocean one autumn night, and I said, with my head thrown back, and the crescent moon and the starlit sky, my arms stretched wide and opened in my feet, leaving footprints in the wet sand, holding my balance. And lovingly, I whispered to God and the universe, "Okay, God, show me. I'm ready now. I'm ready to do your work. Show me all my flaws so that I can correct my wrongdoings and work on what I need to change." In my heart, I thought that I had really been fairly good, and I was full of love and never rarely ever told a lie. Only colored things slightly brighter or a little prettier. Maybe changed the season here or there. Made things a little juicier maybe, you know, but then to the normal. Because the things that I can't stand the most is lying. Quickly was revealed that I had been lying to myself about a lot of things. I had not yet looked about in my life that God was about to reveal to me. And thus, I went into the forest. I thought I was coming out. I felt like Rip Van Winkle, like I had been asleep for the past 20 years, in a dream, a numbing-type dream, actually in dreamland. I haven't felt, and so I had not allowed myself to really emotionally and healthy have a normal feel to myself. The way I'm realizing now is that I wake up and allow myself to feel. Excuse me, I dropped my other book. By trusting in myself and totally trusting God and reprogramming my subconscious mind into positive healthiness with my thoughts, soaring through my past debris of my mental and physical states that I've experienced, I look back and remember my purple spiral notebook. A story that I wrote called Streets Within My Mind. That was back in September of 1989. It was like a deep, heartfelt feeling that I wrote in class for 2 hours. We weren't allowed to stop. And it was the final for creative writing, too. My instructors had taught us all lessons on how to let our subconscious write for us. We had no idea what it was going to be for the assignment or what it would be. And we had worked on all sorts of things. Mine was on riding a blue bicycle with white kids and a left pinky toe sticking out of the worn out tennis shoe showing. But anyway, getting to that, it's like you never know what's going to be. You never know. And when people listen, like it's a classroom, the school of learning, I've learned, my professors, my teachers taught me, when I read a book that was assigned to me, or I learn in a certain chapter, then I was to take it in the exam and place it upon in my own words, even if I had to change and get the thesaurus out and change a word meaning it another word so that I could own it as my own, so that I could say, yes, I have learned from it. Because if I had copied it exactly, or just said, yes, this is what this said to me, using the same words that were in the book, or his lectures had spoken to me, then I had not learned much of anything to apply to myself. Because with the effort and hard work of looking at each sentence, and looking at each part of each page, or each thing that the notes that I took from my professors and applying it into my knowledge, which could be thus brought out to wisdom, then I could own it, and then I could say, yes, I understand. And that's how I do it. And that's how you get an F if you don't do it in college, because then it's plagiarism. And it's also not taking your own and being your own individual. So with that given, identity is very important. The person's identity of who they are. And wearing their own clothes, using their own words. It's just like with God giving me this pet name, The Knowing. If somebody used that pet name, The Knowing, Wouldn't that be like they were taking a part of me, taking a part of something that's really special to me and claiming it as their own, which that's my personal relationship with the Lord. So when people are out there with any given thing, all I've got to say is make it your own by applying it to your knowledge of your wisdom with new words, which are just the same. Just use a new adjective or descriptive adjective or an action verb. Make it a prepositional phrase. Never know what you might learn in the outcome. Well, Seth, it's time for you to get the next show on the air, according to my watch. So I'm going to let you guys go. It's been a great hour with the Bright Lights Pathfinder Show. I'm Kathy Cook, also known as Tassie Hill. And thank you, Don. And thank you, Doug. And thank you, Seth. I'm off the air.